Shall we pray before we look at God's word together? Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Heavenly Father, as we come and look at your Bible this morning, we thank you for the life that we may find in your word. And we pray that you would indeed speak to us through them and enable us to live in the way that you would want us to do. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Right, well, there are many things that grip our attention. There are many things that we are prepared to commit our energy, strength, time and money. And there are things that we should focus our attention on and be passionate about. And it's good to be passionate about things which are good and are not bad. Yet the Christian should have one passion that is above every other passion. There ought to be one focus in our lives that is central to our life, namely the glory of God, and a love for God that focuses on the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the heart of our existence and the foundation of our hopes. And what Paul does now at the end of the letter to Galatians is, as he seizes the pen, he shows that the Christian faith is fundamentally about an inward transformation and not an external observance. And that inward transformation comes from a right understanding of the cross. So if you have your Bibles open, it'd be helpful, I think, to keep it open as we look at it this morning, page 1172, as we look at Galatians chapter 6. If you've been visiting, we've been working our way through Galatians since September or so, and we've been looking at it. We've now come to this very last little section. And what we've seen as we've looked through Galatians is that Galatians is not really how you begin as a believer, but how you continue. And that's the emphasis of the letter, that we are to be people who live daily trusting in the cross. Just have a look at verse 11 where Paul writes this. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. And people have asked, why on earth is Paul writing like this? Does this mean he's got poor eyesight? But probably the answer is when you want to warn somebody, you write in a large letter. So if you've probably seen someone saying, wet paint, normally it's on a piece of card and it's done in large paint, large letters. Or beware the dog. Have you ever seen those signs around? They're not normally small ones, are they? Normally they're quite large. Or maybe you've come across somebody, it's probably not yourself, someone's schoolwork has been very bad, and you've seen on the page, written by the schoolmaster or schoolmistress, in large letters with red ink, some words on it, which basically says, this work needs to be improved, and your attitude or whatever is not very good, it needs to be changed. So this is what Paul is doing at the end of the letter, having set out the issues, is to the Galatians, he's saying, look, what I'm writing to you is of really very great importance. And he makes two points. The first is, don't live for human approval. Don't live for human approval. And that's what we have a look at verse 12. He says, those who want to make a good impression outwardly are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now here in verse 12, Paul focuses on the motivation of these agitators, these people who've come into the church in Galatia, and he says they are living for other people's approval. You can see that in the idea of this good impression and the idea of avoiding persecution. Now, in the historical situation, which I think I've mentioned before, the Jews there in the 40s were beginning to assassinate Gentiles, simply because they were Gentiles, and therefore the Christians who were associating with Gentiles would be a target for assassination. For the Jews in Jerusalem, it was probably very hard if the Christians there were associating with Gentiles, had no problems, it'd be hard to witness to the Jews, to witness to them. And what the agitators are wanting these Gentile Christians in Turkey to do is to fit in. Anything for a quiet life is probably their logo. And they're not prepared to live by the truth. And so therefore what they're doing is they're living to please. They're living for the approval of other people. And Paul is saying this is absolutely wrong. You can't live like that. You've got to live by the truth. Now, Tim Keller, in his book on Galatians, rightly says that the message of the cross offends people. It offends liberal-minded people and conservatives alike. Liberal-minded people hate the cross because it sounds incredibly intolerant to say that you can only be saved through the cross. And conservative-minded people find the cross offensive too, because it says that morality is not good enough for God. And because morality is not important to God, good people are in as much trouble as bad people. And all people need the cross. And people, whether they are liberal-minded or conservative-minded, hate the cross. The cross pleases neither liberal nor conservative-minded people. And therefore what the agitators are doing, in order to soften the message, are offering a message of you need Jesus and you need something else. You need the cross and you need something more. And it is a message that focuses on the externals. And because the agitators' gospel focuses on circumcision, as we've seen, and ceremonies, rather than internal heart change and inward transformation and character change, what Paul does is he makes a critique of them in verse 13. Just look at it. Not even those who are circumcised obey the law, and yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your flesh. Do you see what Paul is saying to them? He's saying these people who are proclaiming a message of Jesus plus something are hypocrites. They don't even obey the law themselves. They don't live out what they're saying is fundamentally important and true. Yeah, the agitator is saying, Jesus is okay, but you need this extra thing. And Paul is saying, all they really want to do is they want to boast about your flesh. What they want is fame. They want recognition to be seen that they are church leaders, great leaders, and followers who they can boast in as trophies. Now, I wonder how that might work out today. I guess in some respects what we do is when church members or church leaders are silent about Jesus Christ and the cross, what we actually do is we live as hypocrites. And what it actually shows is we are ashamed of the cross. When people substitute the preaching of the cross, telling other people about what Jesus has done for just being friendly, then we are actually acting as hypocrites and we are being hypocritical to the gospel. And we're not to live like that. So what he says, don't live for other people's approval, live for the approval of God. Look what he says in verse 14, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Now verse 14 I think is a remarkable verse, because verse 14 is reminding us that we are saved wholly because of Christ's work and not our own. The reason you have a place and I have a place in heaven is because of Jesus' death on the cross for us. Now, Paul says there was a time when the world had a great attraction for Paul, when he clung to the world's values. And the world teaches us, doesn't it, that we are right with God because of what we do. And the world's values are the essence of man-made religion. And we can have a Christian gloss of that. Jesus died for you, that's great, but actually what I do matters. But Paul is saying there in verse 14, because he's now embraced the gospel, he is accepting that Jesus alone saves, that his trust in him is all that matters. And the world's values that says you must impress people by what you do or by what you haven't done has no hold on Paul's life at all. And therefore the world's values does not shape him anymore. And fundamentally what we have to do, say to ourselves all the time, is the gospel is all I need. All I need to do as a Christian is to be trusting in Jesus. If I'm very old or very young and I'm not really able to serve Jesus, all I need to do is to keep trusting in Jesus. If I've made a whole load of mistakes in my life, all I need to do is to keep on trusting in Jesus. If I run into conflict with other people, all I need to do is keep on trusting in Jesus. That's all that matters. That is the heart of the gospel. And I'm not to look for anything else. Verse 15, he says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. You see, when he comes to salvation, My achievements, my attainments, and my failures are irrelevant because the gospel is all about what Jesus has done for me. So there's no need for me to feel inferior because other people are doing things. You know, they're circumcised in a sense. And because of the gospel, I'm not superior and I don't need to be scornful of others because they haven't done things. Uncircumcision is nothing. It doesn't mean anything. All that matters is new creation. How does the new creation come? Well, actually, I need to be trusting what Jesus has done for me. That's what he's saying. And because Jesus has died and because I've put my trust in what he has done for me, I have a new future, I have a motivation for serving him every day, and it comes from trusting him alone. Look at what he says in verse 16, peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, even to the Israel of God. Verse 16 asks us, who are God's children? Who are the Israel of God? Who are, as it were, in Abraham's family? It's not those who, in a sense, have a CV and say, look, look what I've done. It's those who have put their trust in Jesus. And that's what Paul says there in verse 17. Finally, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The finally here ties in with what he's been saying. What has Paul been saying along all the way through the letter of Galatians? Now that Jesus has come, what matters most is that you're trusting in him. And there's no point in trying to get Paul to bear the marks of the old covenant now that the new has come. You know, who would go back to having a messenger boy when you could have write email, when you can send an email to somebody? You know that when you sent an email, it actually works, doesn't it? And Paul says in verse 17 that the marks on his body, the scars that he had from torture and imprisonments and beatings, all because he was serving Christ and bringing this message to people, it has come because he's been Christ's apostle and they authenticate his ministry. Those marks obviously are not on the bodies of the agitators because they are teaching a message that is popular and easy. And the world loves to hear their message. And as he signs off the letter in verse 18, he says something very striking, doesn't it? He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. I don't know which words you thought were most striking. Grace, you know, the mnemonic, God's redemption at Christ's expense, reminds us of the gospel. But just notice those two words in verse 18, are the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the word brothers. Do you see what Paul is saying to the Galatians? Whatever your failures in the past, whatever your temptation was to actually live with a gospel plus, if you trust in Jesus, God's grace is unleashed back into your lives. And what you'll find is deeply satisfying as you trust in Jesus. So you've got, on the one hand, you've got the people who are looking for worldly approval, the agitators. You've got the others who are trusting in Jesus, and their boast is in Jesus. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is your boast about? What are you boasting in today? Are you relying on Jesus' death for yourself, for your salvation? Are you relying on him to make you right with God? Or are you, as it were, saying, look at me, I'm this kind of person, I've done these kinds of things. Oh yes, Jesus is okay, but I need more. What kind of person are you? Are you relying on Jesus alone? Or are you living like these agitators? And verse 18 reminds us is all we need is in Jesus. And as we find satisfaction in him and what he's done for us, what we will find is our lives are enriched and we will be deeply satisfied. Because actually that's what happens when we rejoice in the gospel. So maybe that as 2014 draws to a close and 2015 begins, maybe that we would be people who trust in Jesus alone, in grace alone, through faith alone. That's as we sit, bow our heads and pray. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have heard the gospel here And our prayer is that this gospel, the great liberating news of Jesus Christ, would shape our lives. We ask that you would help us day by day to rely on Jesus' death alone, that he alone is all that I need and that we need to be right with God, and there's nothing that we do that you are impressed with. Help us to have lives that are characterized by daily devoted dependence on him. And we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.